Our epistle lesson today comes from the first pastoral letter to Timothy, found on page 210 in the New Testament portion of your pew Bible. Of course, there is great gain in godliness combined with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world so that we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, and in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. But as for you, man of God, shun all of this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses, in the presence of God who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession. I charge you to keep the commandment without spot or blame until the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the right time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, it is he alone who has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty or set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's join our hearts in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When we first moved to Richmond about 6 years ago, I was not working. Audrey was somewhere around four and Ian was two-ish. Connor was, as we say in our household, still in heaven with God. Unsure what to do with myself, I decided to pursue something that I always had wanted to try but didn't dedicate the time to. So I decided I was going to become a runner. I joined the Monument 10K training team with the YMCA, and each Saturday I ran with a group, adding miles to my personal training each week as well as our group one runs. And then one cold and rainy March morning, I ran 6.2 miles. I had never thought that that was possible. During those weeks, I actually decided I liked running, and I signed up for the half marathon training team and trained for the Richmond half, but only the half, because as the sign said on the route running the race, I'm only half crazy. So that freezing November morning, I ran 13.1 miles, more than I had ever run, more than I ever thought that I would have the endurance for, the desire for, and mostly enjoy. Shortly after that race, I had contemplated continuing running, and then my focus changed when I found out I was pregnant with Connor. To train to run, I had to be a good athlete. I had to take care of myself. I had to get enough sleep, eat the right things. I had to do a little or a lot of something every day so that my body remained in condition to do what I wanted. I could not sit around all week and then show up on Saturdays and expect to keep pace. I know that there's a lot of you out there who are runners who know what I'm talking about, but I also know that we have a lot of field hockey players and football players and gymnasts and musicians. You all know the dedication and endurance that is required to be part of a sport or team or band. If you're on the basketball team and you don't show up for practice each week, you can't show up the day of the championship and expect to be a starting player. This is the image that Paul is closing his letter to Timothy with. In verse 11, he says, "But as for you, man of God, shun all of this, Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you have been called and for which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith. In the Greek, this more accurately reads, contest the good contest. As one commentator has put it, maintaining the faith and living the faith require the energy of a good athlete. Paul is telling Timothy and the people in Timothy's church, and yes, even us here today as we hear the word proclaimed, that to be a follower of Jesus, to live into our baptism, requires training, just like an athlete would for a sport or a team. Let's go back just a little in Timothy. The first letter to Timothy is all about combating dissident teaching and suspicion of outsiders. It advocates respectable behavior in the church and beyond to enhance its mission and image in the larger world. Paul is writing to Timothy, supporting him in his ministry and reminding him and his congregation that this life of faith is a gift, and it requires something of us. In Timothy's day, there was apparently some false teaching circulating around the church. I don't think these were necessarily teachings like Jesus was not really God's son or not resurrected. I think these false teachings were more subtle and insidious, things that were letting the people off the hook. When we look back to the beginning of the passage, Paul is clear that attitudes towards money is one of these false teachings. We have the infamous verse, "The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil." This has become somewhat proverbial and is often misquoted. I think we often hear the love of money is the root of all evil, but that is not what the verse says. It says the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Paul in no way condemns wealth. In fact, he gives instructions for how people are to use their money. It's not the money that's the problem. It's the love of money. It's our attitude towards the money. As scholar Christian Erbhardt says, what is being criticized then is rather the love of money, the eagerness to become rich, than the material wealth as such. Money is not an easy topic to preach on. It's like marriage, the thing that couples and churches often struggle talking about are money and sex. Like many things, that which is a blessing to us from God, a good gift to us, may also become a temptation for us. A universal cliche is money is what makes the world go round. It's what we perceive as providing security and comfort in life. We don't want to think about not having money because then we might not have the creature comforts that we have become accustomed to. We worry about how much is in the savings account because that's what separates us from the man on the street begging for his next meal. We don't like to talk about money because somehow it feels shameful. I think we carry around a strange sense of collective shame as Americans that we have so much and others have so little. According to a recent census report, the gap indeed continues to widen between the rich and the poor. But as Paul is telling Timothy, and Jesus said many, many times throughout his gospel, it's not the money that's the problem, it's us. This is the fight that we're fighting. This is part of our training for life of faith. It's not only the love of money, but it's the fear of money that we fall into. We fall into false belief that money can protect us, and therefore we become a slave to that money. Fear begins to rule us rather than the perfect love that casts out all fear. We become slaves to this fear, allowing it to rob us of the life that we are promised. God intends us to enjoy our life. Our life is supposed to be full of joy, not full of fear and anxiety. That's what Paul means when he says to take hold of the life that really is life. Life is really life when we orient it around God. But this is not something that just happens. In our baptism, we are not gifted the superpower to always set our hopes on God. But we are gifted instructions and a community of faith that helps train us. It takes endurance and preparation. We have to practice, just like athletes. We have to put in the miles on days we just don't want to. We have to get up on Sunday mornings and come to church because our team needs us, when we're at our best and when we're not. We have to show up for our community when we are in agreement with what is happening and we feel shut out and hurt by that community. We have to remember that what we do with our resources affects all people, not just ourselves. Our money, our riches in spirit and time and talent can be used to help train and support other people who are running this race of faith with us. We're all gonna make mistakes. We all fell down on training sometimes. There was definitely some Saturdays I didn't get up and go run. Even the leaders of the team sometimes make mistakes. But we're all in this together. Together is the only way the church continues, and the church is the place that we need to go to train for this life that really is life. The fall kind of seems to always be about money. I think it starts off when back to school rolls around and you have to do all that stuff. And then all of a sudden it's October and then Thanksgiving and then Christmas, the season of all of the things. We're gearing up for the season. We talk about money more here at church. It's almost time to make your decision about how much you will give for next year. It's almost time for the committees of the church to think about their budgets for next year. Some of the needs of those committees are really mundane. Line items for paper plates and light bulbs. Others are invigorating and imaginative, partnering with outreach initiatives or new ways to study together and train for this life of faith. But all of those things are part of our training. We need the paper plates so that we can have nourishment for this journey. And we need the light bulbs to light our way of study. We need these things to set our hopes on God, who richly provides for our enjoyment. Because this life is the life that really is about enjoyment. The church is our training team. I pray that you come to our weekly training sessions and feel stretched and worked and that great endorphin feeling of a good workout. I hope that you're able to, with your workouts in Sunday school and Wednesday night supper and Bible studies and youth group and fellowship, continually orient yourself around the God whose love is so abundant that all fear is cast out, so that you can cast out the fear that might be robbing you of the life God desires for you to live. Enjoyment is not always fun. Fun can be frivolous without much consequence. But enjoyment is soul-filling. Much like running, it's not always fun to run the miles, but it was great at the end. Training for this rich life of good works and generosity can stretch us and make us uncomfortable. But the reward at the end is like nothing you can ever imagine. A life oriented towards the perfect love of God shines like a beacon, inviting others to join the team, making sure that others are cared for on this journey, and bringing joy to each encounter. Our team needs you. It needs your generosity of spirit, your words of encouragement, your laughter, your hope, and your pain. I am grateful to be on this team, fighting this good fight of faith with all of you. Thanks be to God that we have this community. Amen.